Andate di fronte a noi.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, I think today there were these connections making it difficult to connect to the class early enough. I think it might have been technical because I have also tried to join the class quite early, but the platform was appearing not open. Perhaps there were issues with the brothers organizing the admin. May Allah make all of this easy for them and forgive our shortcomings. We are on the book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. We have been on Bab Al-Haya, the chapter about Al-Haya'u. The chapter about Al-Haya'u has been the lessons we had been upon. Al-Haya'u, as we have repeatedly said, that it has to do with an individual keeping away from things that are indecent. يمنع الشخص من الفعل القبيح. That character that makes you keep away from indecent things, whether in terms of speech, whether in terms of action. Because of Iman, Iman makes you see those indecent things as something you can never do. You feel doing that does not defeat Iman. You will see that it is completely different from timidity, as one of the brothers had asked yesterday. When a person is timid, he lacks confidence. He lacks conviction. But a person who has haya, who is convinced that that thing is wrong, I will not do it. So he has confidence. He is not confused. He is not afraid. But he only certainly knows that this statement is bad. I cannot say it. This action is bad. I cannot do it. It is different from being timid. The person who is timid does not know what he wants to do. He is either afraid, or that he lacks confidence, or something like that. But this person who has haya, he is confident. He is able to differentiate between what is good and what is bad. And he has chosen by conviction that Iman does not allow me to do this kind of a thing. And so he withdraws from doing it. This is the meaning of Al-Haya'u. It is not about being timid. Another word that perhaps would have been asked about, and I have repeatedly mentioned it, is about naive. We now use when a person holds back some from someone, say, hey, why are you naive? As if the word just came newly to the dictionary on a very lighter note. So this word naive, it has to do with people who lack good experience about what they are doing. they lack good knowledge about what they are doing. So because they are inexperienced, because they take things lighter than those things are. Eating something is important. You take it lightly as if it is not important because you have little experience. This is what, generally speaking, you can call somebody is naive. But as far as Al-Haya'u is concerned, the individual is in the head of his decision that this thing is bad, this thing is indecent, this thing is inappropriate, this statement is bad, I will not say it. It does not befit the people of Iman. So you can see the wide, huge gap between timidity, between naivety, all of these expressions we are now using in big, big grammar. Between all of these and Al-Haya'u. Al-Haya'u is a character, is a trait, is something with you. It is possible that you were born with it, as we have mentioned regarding character, generally speaking. A person may be born with a kind of a character, whether good or bad. Like we mentioned in the hadith of Ashadju Abdul Qais, a person may be born, radiallahu anhu, a person may be born with good character from their lineage. They are honorable people. They are people who employ sanity in everything they do. They are people, they don't get involved in indecent things. They are always far away from obscenity in their family. A person can be born from that kind of a family, and it will be from his natural instincts as an individual by birth to keep away from indecency. And it is possible that the individual will learn. He will learn to have higher hope because character can be acquired. The same way for negative characters, some characters are negative. A person may be born with it from their family, and a person may learn negative character. In their family, they may have good characters, but he goes and he begins to walk and relate with people with bad character. He begins to keep company of bad people, and then he learns from their bad character. So character can be natural, inborn, and it can be acquired, it can be learned, it can be studied and acquired. So Al-Haya'u is our own point of attention here. Al-Haya'u is khulqun yamna'u shakhsa min al-fayl al-qabih bisabab al-iman. I repeat this deliberately so that it will go right inside our mind. What does Al-Haya'u mean? Apart from just taking a word from the English lexicon to keep it in mind. Keep it in mind by definition. Al-Haya'u khulqun. Haya'u is a character, it's a trait. Yamna'u shakhs min al-fayl al-qabih bisabab al-iman. It will prevent you from doing something that is inordinate, something that is not proper because of iman. Iman will prevent you. Say, don't do this. This one does not suit iman. A woman fighting and quarreling with a conductor publicly does not suit iman. A woman laughing and joking with a man who is not her mahram. They laugh, kaka, kaka, joke, kaka, kaka, without necessity. It is common now. It is not from iman. A woman having bus conductors, bus drivers, taxi drivers, and Okada drivers, all of these people, more than 200 telephone numbers of Okada riders are on her phone. And each of them will be calling her every day, Alaja, where are you? Alaja. He starts running about with these people in the name of doing delivery. Iman will prevent you from being like that. How can I be so exposed to men like that? Iman will prevent you. No, this is not proper. Every man has access to call me as a woman. This is not proper, oh women. Every man has access to call you. Every man has access to talk to you. Whatever will lead to that, avoid it. Iman will say, no, there should be restriction. Iman will tell you that as a Muslim woman, not every man, not even those people you would think are righteous, to have access to you. Not to say, man, you can clearly say, this one is a kafir, this one is a Muslim, fasik. You can give that ruling. Yet you have the telephone numbers, Allahu a'lam bi adadiha, of kufar men, fusak men, fasiqat women, calling you in the name of you are doing business. Islam will make you feel higher, away from things. Don't ask me whether it is halal or haram, but al-haya'u will prevent us from things that are not appropriate, things that are not decent, things that are not honorable. When it is not honorable, haya'u will make you say, no, I will not be able to do this one. Why? It is not a thing of honor. It is not a thing of esteem. And iman pushes me to things of honor, things of esteem, things of respect, things of nobility. This is the meaning of haya'u. So you see, it is not something you can do without confidence. So it's not about being timid. You are confidently, deliberately avoiding indecency. This is the meaning of al-haya'u that we have been talking about repeatedly. I hope that those of us who had wanted a clear-cut statement about the relationship between al-haya'u and timidity or naivety would have gotten it clear. These two words, when a person is naive, he gets into something without experience, not knowing whether to turn right or left, so he's confused. He just got into one of them. That one is naive. When it is timid, the person lacks confidence. He's not sure of what to do. But in terms of al-haya'u, you are sure that what you are avoiding, you are confident that what you are avoiding, you have a certain knowledge that this thing I am not doing is not proper for me to do. That is why I am leaving it undone. This person is confident. This person is knowledgeable. This person has good experience of what he or she is leaving aside. Bisababil iman. These things do not speak well of a person of iman, so I'm leaving it aside. This is the meaning of what al-haya'u. The last hadith we like to read under this chapter. Yesterday we read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by a man, yu'atibu akhahu. He was blaming his brother fil haya, regarding haya. The Prophet passed by one man, yu'atibu akhahu fil haya, ka'annahu yakul adhar bika. The man was blaming his brother about haya. This haya, haya will make you lose so many things. Haya will make you lose business customers. Haya will make you do this. Haya, if you this, haya, if you say you want to stand by haya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam heard that statement. He went there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, da'a, leave him alone. Don't tell him not to deliberately abandon things that are not decent. Don't speak against his keeping away from indecency and obscenity. Don't tell him, don't keep away. Leave him, da'a, leave him alone. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Because that deliberately keeping away from things that are not proper, مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ, it is part of iman. The Prophet said in another hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الْحَيَاءُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ. الْحَيَاءُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ. إِخْوَى وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. This statement of the Prophet Muhammad is as he has said it. Al-haya'u kulluhu khair. When you deliberately abandon things that are not decent, you are always seeking things that are proper. You always wanting to do things properly. You always wanting to do things of respect, things of noble, good esteem, good character, things of honor. That is what you always want to do. Wallahi, you'll be coming across khair, khair, khair. Why? You have deliberately left shar. You are always upon khair. So why is it not that all your affairs to be turning upon khair, khair? That was why he told us in the hadith that we read before that, that ma kana al-haya'u fi shay'in illa zanahu. You will not find haya'u inside something except that that haya'u will beautify that thing. If it is a dressing, you have haya'u with it. Haya'u will beautify you. If it is in a speech, you add haya'u to it. Haya'u will beautify that thing. What does that mean? Haya'u will make your speech be absent from indecency. You will not speak indecency. You will not act indecently. Why? Because of what? Al-haya'u. Fal-haya'u, like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma kana al-haya'u fi shay'in illa zanahu. You will not find haya'u anything except that it beautifies that thing. The hadith we'll read today, and it will be the last hadith under this chapter heading. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people of Al-Haya. That is hadith 103. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he said, Haddathana Abu Rabi'a. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, in hadith 603, he said, rahimahullah, Haddathana Abu Rabi'a. Qala Haddathani Ismailu. قال حدثني محمد بن أبي حرملة عن عطاء وسليمان ابن يسار وأبي سلمة ابن عبد الرحمن أن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مضطجئا في بيتي كاشفا عن فخذه أو ساقيه فاستأذن أبو بكر رضي الله عنه فأذن له كذلك فتحدث ثم استأذن عمر فأذن له كذلك ثم تحدث ثم استأذن عثمان فجلس النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وسوى ثيابه قال محمد ولا أقول في يوم واحد فدخل فتحدث فلما خرج قال قلت يا رسول الله دخل أبو بكر فلم تهشأ ولم تباله ثم دخل عمر فلم تهشأ ولم تباله ثم دخل عثمان فجلست وسويت ثيابك قال ألا أستحي من رجل تستحي منه الملائكة. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله in hadith 603 in this book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he reports this hadith from his Sheikh Abu Rabi'a. He said, حدثنا أبو الربيع. أبو الربيع, he is Sulaiman ibn Dawood. Sulaiman ibn Dawood al-Ataki. Abu Rabi'a, he is Sulaiman ibn Dawood al-Ataki rahimahullah, from the teachers of Imam al-Bukhari. He said, Haddathani Ismail, and that was Ismail ibn Ja'far, Abu Ishaq al-Madani. Ismail ibn Ja'far, Abu Ishaq al-Madani. He was reporting from Muhammad ibn Abi Harmala. Muhammad ibn Abi Harmala, he was Abu Abdullah al-Madani also. These were scholars of Medina. This hadith has isnad with the scholars of al-Madina, that city of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad ibn Abi Harmala has reported it from three teachers. Muhammad ibn Abi Harmala has reported it from three teachers. Three, one, two, three. The first person was Ata'u ibn Yasar. That's great Imam Al-Hilali Abu Muhammad. Ata'u ibn Yasar Al-Hilali Abu Muhammad is one of the teachers of Muhammad ibn Abi Harmala. Ata'u was a Tabi'i. This is not Ata'u ibn Abi Rabah. This is Ata'u ibn Yasar Abu Muhammad Al-Hilali. Rahimahullah. The second person from whom Muhammad ibn Abi Harmala reported this hadith was Sulaiman ibn Yasar, the brother of Ata'u ibn Yasar. Both Ata'u ibn Yasar and Sulaiman ibn Yasar, Abu Ayyub al-Hilali. His brother Ata'u, his own kunya was what? Abu Muhammad. As for his brother Sulaiman, his own kunya was what? Abu Ayyub. Sulaiman ibn Yasar, Abu Ayyub al-Hilali. Sulaiman ibn Yasar was from the scholars of fiqh in al-Madinah, min fuqaha al-Madinah. Sulaiman ibn Yasar, rahimahumullah. The third person who, from whom Muhammad ibn Abi Harmala reported the hadith was Abu Salama. Abu Salama was the son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He was a well-known from amongst the students of Abu Huraira. But this time, he is reporting this hadith from Aisha. So this hadith, as it is here with this isnad, it has three from amongst the Tabi'un. It has Ata'u ibn Yasar. It has Sulaiman ibn Yasar. It also has who? Abu Salama ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf. All of them reporting from Aisha, our mother, Ummu Abdillah radiyallahu anha, as-siddiqatu bintu siddiq. Qalat, she said radiyallahu anha, kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mudtaji'an fi bayti. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana mudtaji'an fi bayti, he was lying down in my house, in my apartment. The bayt does not mean the full house of a house, toilet, bathroom, kitchen, and all of these. No, what she meant was fi ghurfati, in my room. Why have we said this? Because Aisha does not have more than that. She only has her room in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes she cooked inside the room. Sometimes she cooked outside the room. Radiallahu anha. Sometimes she cooked inside. Sometimes she cooked outside her room by her doorstep. That is what she has referred to as bayti. Kana nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mudtaji'an fi bayti. One day the Prophet was sleeping in my room. Kashifan anfakhidhihi aw saqayhi. And his fakhid, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, kana kashifan anfakhidhihi. His fakhid, his laughs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was exposed. Aw saqayhi. Or his shanks. The saq is that bone between your knee and your ankle. This is saq. The saq is the bone between the knee, the rukba, and the ankle. So in between the two, you have the shank. So in the hadith, he was either exposing his laughs, his fakhid, both sides, or that it was the knee that were exposed, between the knee and the ankle. If it was the shanks that were exposed, there's no issue, because we know that the aura of a man to another man is between as-surra wa-rukba, between the navel to the knee. If this is what was exposed, if it was the sunk, the spark, or the shanks in English language that was exposed, that we refer to as saq in Arabic. If that is what is was exposed, there's no blame. Or how about the fakhis? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was exposing his lumps. That one is lawful for a man inside the room of his wife. He could expose any part of the body. But it becomes an issue with the next statement, which I read. He said, radiyallahu anha, فَاسْتَأَذَنَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَأَذِنَ لَهُ كَذَلِكَ فَتَحَدَّثَ فَاسْتَأَذَنَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu asked for permission to come in. فَأَذِنَ لَهُ كَذَلِكَ The Prophet was like that, exposing either the laps or the shanks. If it was the shanks that he was exposing, covering up to his knees, there's no problem. But if it was the laps that was exposed, then there are issues of, isn't the laps part of the aura between one man and another man? And that is the view of the Jumhurul Ulama. The vast majority of the ulama say that the fakhiz is awra. Al-fakhizu awratun. It's a hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhumah. And Al-Imam al-Albani and others among the scholars grade that hadith as hasan. That al-fakhizu awra. The fakhiz, the lapse of a man is awra between himself and another man. So don't expose your aura, all men, because your fakh is your lapse, which is part of your aura. So if it was the lapse and the lapse is aura, why was it exposed in this case by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Many of the scholars say that the reason was this incident would have occurred before the clear-cut statement from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that al-fakhizu awra. Is this clear? It would have occurred before that clear-cut legislation that the fakhiz is part of the awra, was why he did not cover the awra. Some scholars say that he alayhi salatu wasalam, it is part of his khususiyya, part of the things that are special to the Prophet alone. Alayhi salatu wasalam, he has a choice to do or not to do. He had a choice, aura open. Of course, he was inside the room of his wife, Aisha. Don't forget, he was not in the public playing football, wearing a short sneaker that was exposing his aura. No, he was inside his house, inside his room. And that was restricted to him alone. As for the rest of us, al-fakhizu awra, our fakhiz, our laps, they are part of our aura. This is one of the explanations that has been given to this hadith, that the fakhiz is awra, our laps is awra. This incident would have happened before that general legislation that al-fakhizu awra. I hope that it is clear. So don't come to ask me at question time whether it is lawful to expose your laps to play football. Don't ask me that question. Why? Al-fakhizu awra. Your laps is part of your aura. One. Secondly, is that the biggest thing that has been said is that one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exposed that aura at a time when exposing aura was lawful. But later he gave a clear-cut legislation that al-fakhizu awra. So it is the later legislation that we go by. In fact, some scholars say that this incident is from the things the scholars refer to as waqi'atul ayn, la hukma laha. Waqi'atul ayn are things that just happens. You cannot take a ruling from it. Something just happened, like I didn't even take notes that my laps was exposed. I didn't even take notes. Like, for example, I remember that one day while I was an undergraduate, I went to class without a cap on my head. And I did not know that I was not wearing a cap. And I have never done so before. Because even while I was an undergraduate, many times I used to wear a turban. I would wear a turban in the school. So why would I have gone to class without explaining things they call waqi'atul ayn, something that just accidentally happens? That kind of a thing does not take a ruling. Waqi'atul ayn, the scholar say, rahimahumullah, la umuma laha, la hukma laha. They cannot be used to give evidence. So I was in class, the teacher was saying, Abdurrauf, where is your cap? That was when I knew that I was not wearing a cap. So can somebody now say that, in fact, that man, sometimes he does not wear it? He cannot use that as an example. Why? It is waqi'atul ayn. It's just something that just happens. You cannot take a ruling from that. So some scholars say that this incident, the Prophet exposed his lapse. It was waqi'atul ayn, something that just happens, from which we cannot take the generality of a ruling. So the point is that our lapse, men, we are talking about men, not women. The lapse of a man is aura. As for women, you know your aura already. The discussion is not about you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mudtaji'an, kana mudtaji'an fi bayti. He was lying down in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, kashifan an fakhizihi, it's lawful for him to do that, awsaqayhi, and he was exposing his laps or his knees, between his knees and his ankles, his shanks. If it is the shank he was exposing, there's no blame. But if it is the fakhiz that he was exposing, if another person comes, he should cover it basically. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ista'adhana Abu Bakr fa'adhina lahu kathalik. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq asked for permission to come in. The Prophet allowed him to come in while he was still exposing his ankles, his shanks, or his laps. The doubt was from Aisha, because that was not what she was going to report. She was going to report, the point of reference actually was about Usman and about Al-Haya. So there are these details, she might not have paid, you know, much attention to it. Radiallahu anha. So it appears that the shock, the doubt was from her. Radiallahu anha. Just like sometimes we too, we give narrations, we say, maybe this or that. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came in, fa'adhina lahu kadhalik. The Prophet allowed him to come in while he was like that. Fatahaddatha. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq then spoke to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he went away. Thumma sta'adhana Umar. After that, it might be immediately after, it might be later, it may be a year later, it may be 2 years later, sometime later. Ista'adhana Umar fa'adhina lahu kadhalik. Umar asks for permission, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed Umar to come in while he was like that. Thumma tahaddatha. Umar spoke to the Prophet and left alayhi salatu wa sallam. She said radiallahu anha, thumma sta'adhan Uthman. Then at another time, Uthman came to ask for permission from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fajalasa an-nabiyyu alayhi salatu wa sallam. The Prophet now sat up alayhi salatu wa sallam. Wasawwa siyabahu. He now sawwa siyabahu. He made his clothes to be proper. He dressed his clothes properly when Uthman was coming. He sat up sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then sawwa thiyabahu, he dressed his clothes properly. In this report it said qala Muhammad. Muhammad here was Muhammad ibn Abi Harmala, who reported this hadith from Ata'u, from Suleiman, and from Abu Salama. One of the reporters said, Wala akulu fi yawmin wahid. I do not view that this incident happened on just one single day. He said, I don't think it happened one day. Maybe it on different occasions. One day, Abu Bakr Siddiq came. On another day, Omar came. On another day, Uthman came. On each of the occasions, Aisha was watching the actions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Uthman asked for permission, Jalasa al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sawwa thiyabahu, he sat down properly alayhi salatu wasalam, wa sawwa thiyabahu, he now dressed his clothes properly. He brought the clothes to himself properly, and then فَدَخَلَ فَتَحَدَّثَ, Uthman came in and spoke to the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. فَلَمَّا خَرَجَ, when Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه, when he went away, قال قلت, Aisha said رضي الله عنها, قلت يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, دخل أبو بكر فلم تهش ولم تباليه, لم تهش, يعني you had not shown حسن اللقاء, you didn't try to perfect your meeting him. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted Abu Bakr to come in, you did not prepare ولم تباليه, you did not prepare specifically, you did not لم تهش, you did not, you know, open up your countenance. Neither did you prepare specially. You were just as you were. Abu Bakr came. You were like as you were. Radiallahu anha. These ways of Aisha's asking questions shows a very diligent student. Despite the fact that the Prophet was her husband, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiallahu anha, some women are lazy when they become the wives of an ustadh, the wife of a sheikh. They are very lazy. They are the ones who come late to class. When they come to class, they will not come with their books. When they come with their books, they will not come with their pens. When they come with their pens, they'll be dozing in the class. You can find these kinds of things with wives of teachers, wives of ustadh, wives of sheikh. But Aisha was not like that. The fact that whenever anything happens, she was always quick to find out, to ask questions, showed that she was a very diligent, very observant student. If it was a student who was dozing, she will not know what was it. How was the countenance of the Prophet? She will not note that one if she was dozing in class. Radiallahu anha. And every encounter in the life of the Prophet was a lesson for her. She will not be able to tell us what she's saying now, radiallahu anha, if she was the lazy type. Many times, yes, women would like to marry ustaz, marry sheikh, marry this. But once they get to the house, as if to say, the fatwa is in my house already. So when I need it, I can just take it when I want. So for the sake of Allah, women are just, it's a blessing for you if Allah makes your husband to be ustaz. Allah makes your husband to be a sheikh, just like it was a blessing for Aisha that Allah makes her husband to be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah mentioned this in the Quran regarding the wives of the prophets, for them to know that it's a blessing for them. Allah said, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, O you wives of the prophets, radiallahu anhunna. وَذْكُرْنَ مَا, remember from the blessings of Allah upon you, is that يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. It is inside your own house, it is inside your own room that they are teaching Adabul Mufrad. It is inside your own house that Quran is coming down. O wife of ustaz, wife of sheikh, It is inside your house. So why should you not take it serious? Why should you not be very, very diligent with your lessons? The same thing that people will come to learn from outside. It is inside your own house. It's a favor of Allah on you. So Aisha radiallahu anha was not like that. I remember one of our friends is now in Egypt. When he teaches his wives, he begins to, this is on a light note now, he will tell them, hey, you have to be serious in class because I'm going to cane you if you don't listen to what I'm saying. We all start laughing when he says it. He wants to take his wife as he takes his student. It will not work like that, because the blunt truth is that the wife is a wife, even if she may be a student, but she's firstly a wife. So that's why we will appeal to women. Please be diligent students. If your husband happens to be the sheikh, the husband happens to be the teacher, be diligent, because it's a favor of Allah upon you. Don't show Allah's favor on you. Don't repay it with ingratitude. From the aspects of ingratitude is coming late to class, not coming with your books, not coming with pen, or coming early, coming with books, coming with pen, and then dozing is in the class, or any kind of negative behavior in the class that does not show diligence towards your studies. Don't do it if you are a wife of the ustaz, because after all, the ustaz is my husband. He will not blame me. He will not feel bad. He will just keep quiet, because after all, he's coming back to me inside the house. Women should not behave like that. They should remember that their husband is ustaz or sheikh is a favor of Allah upon them. So as for Aisha radiallahu anha, qultu ya Rasulallah, a diligent student with her husband, she said, O Messenger of Allah, dakhala Abu Bakr falam tahasha walam tubali. Abu Bakr Siddiq came in, falam tahasha. You did not show any special countenance. Walam tubali. You did not prepare specially. You did not show any special concern to prepare for meeting him. Thumma dakhala Umar, falam tahasha, walam tubali. Then after that, Umar too came in, falam tahasha. You did not show any special countenance of reception. Walam tubali. You did not prepare specially to receive him. Thumma dakhala Uthman, fajalasta wa sawaita thiyabak. Then Uthman came in, fajalasta. You began to sit down properly. Wa sawaita thiyabak. And you began to dress your clothes properly. Why was it like that? This is a student, radiallahu anha. This is a student, radiallahu anha, Aisha. Mubaraka. It is from her barakat that we are now learning from this. The meaning of a person who is mubarak or mubaraka is that she does things and a lot of people benefit from it, radiallahu anha. She was asking the Prophet, why did you do that? Dakhala Abu Bakr falam tahasha walam tubali. Thumma dakhala Umar falam tahasha walam tubali. Thumma dakhala Uthman fajalasta wa sawaita thiyabak. Why? Uthman came in, you sat down specially, and then you began to dress your clothes specially and properly. Why did you do that? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala astahi min rajulin tastahi minhu al-malaika. Ala astahi min rajulin tastahi minhu al-malaika. Should I not show haya'u specially to a man? Tastahi minhu al-malaika. That the malaika show haya'u towards him. Malaika show haya'u towards Uthman, the first point of benefit. Uthman, radiyallahu anhu, was so honorable before Allah. سبحانه وتعالى so much that الملائكة تستحي منه. Malaika have regards, they have esteem, they have a high sense of honor and respect towards Usman. This shows that Usman was a friend of Allah, truly, radiallahu anhu Abu Amr. The kunya of Uthman ibn Affan was what? Abu Amr. Even though he used to be referred to as Abu Abdullah before that. You know, Uthman ibn Affan was married to Ruqayya, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She passed away in the second year of Hijrah when the Muslims went for the Battle of Badr. They were at Badr. When they were leaving, she was very ill. Uthman had to take care of her, so he couldn't go out for Badr, radiallahu anhu. Before they returned, Ruqayya died. So they returned, they met her, she was dead, radiallahu anha. And then the Prophet and the rest of the companions, they buried Ruqayya, the daughter of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the wife of who? Uthman ibn Affan. Shortly after, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married another daughter of his, radiallahu anha. What was her name? Ummu Kulthum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Ummu Kulthum to Uthman ibn Affan. And that was how Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Abdullah, he had had Abdullah with Ruqayya, radiallahu anha. Even though that Abdullah passed away, but he had had Abdullah. So he used to be called Abu Abdullah. And then later he used to be called Abu Amr. He also has a son called Abu Amr. But he got more popular with what? Abu Amr. So he had two kunyas, Abu Abdullah or what? Abu Amr. Then when he married Ummu Kulthum, he broke a record. What was that record? No human being married two daughters of a prophet of Allah. And that was how he became to be called Zunurain. Uthman ibn Affan became Zunurain. He began to be referred to as Zunurain because he was married to two daughters of a prophet of Allah. Who is the prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Messenger Muhammad, alayhi. Who were those two daughters? Ruqayya and who? And Ummu Kulthum. Ummu Kulthum passed away in the seventh year of Hijrah, radiallahu anha. And she did not give birth to any child for Uthman ibn Affan. But she was with Uthman for about 5 or 6 years before she also died. Don't forget, all the children of the Prophet passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhunna. They all passed away, except who? Fatima. Fatima remained, and 6 months after the Prophet died, alayhi salatu salam, Fatima also died. Uthman was a very honorable man. If you give your daughter to a man in marriage, if he did not treat that daughter very well, you will not replace that one who died with another one from your daughters again. If he was bad to the first one, you will not want to give him another daughter. Uthman was a very, very honorable man, radiallahu anhu. From the things that has been reported from Uthman was that he never made zina, whether during Jahiliyyah or during Islam. He never made zina. Whether during Jahiliyyah, when everywhere was full of fisk and fasad, or after he became a Muslim, radiallahu anhu, he never drank alcohol. Uthman ibn Affan never drank alcohol, whether during Jahiliyyah or before the Prophet came, alayhi salatu salam, as a messenger, or after he accepted Islam. He never drank alcohol. And he was 6 years younger than the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu salam. Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, he was a very, very handsome person, radiallahu anhu. Azimu kana azim al-lihya. It was mentioned that from the attributes of Uthman was that he had a very big beard. Uthman had a very big beard, radiallahu anhu. And he was not a man who was tall or short. He was middle height, radiallahu anhu, and he was very, very handsome. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal reported a hadith where one of the Sahabiyat, Ummu Musa was her name, radiallahu anha, fakhita. She said, radiallahu anha, kana Uthman min ajmali nas. This hadith is Hassan. Uthman was from the most handsome of people, radiallahu anha. One of the things described regarding Uthman physically was he used to make khidab. He used to dye his gray beard, radiallahu anhu, with khidab, with henna, just as we know our scholars also do today, radiallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, was a very, very honorable person. He never made zina. He never drank alcohol, radiallahu anhu. One of the things reported regarding Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, was that Qara al-Qur'an laylatan fi rak'atin. He would observe the whole Quran in one rak'ah in Qiyamul Layl. Uthman, he will make Qiyamul Layl and he will read the whole Quran in the night, Qiyamul Layl. One rak'ah, fi rak'atin wahida. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, rahimahullah, sahha min wujuhin anna Uthman qara' al-Qur'ana kullahu fi rak'ah. It has come from a lot of chains of reports, and they are all sahih. Anna Uthman, that Uthman ibn Affan qara al Quran kullahu fi rak'atin wahida. That Uthman ibn Affan read the entirety of the Quran in one single rak'ah, radiyallahu anhu. And it was reported that amongst all the companions, he had one thing. Uthman ibn Affan, he had his bath regularly. It's not common amongst people, amongst the whites, that every day he had a bath. He was always a very neat person, very clean, conscious of his looks, and of course, conscious of his mind, because he was also full of ibadah. And from the things that have been mentioned regarding Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhum, was that إِذَا وَقَفَ عَلَى قَبْرٍ بَكَى حَتَّى يَبُلَّ لِحِيَتَهُ. If he stood by any grave, baka, he began to weep, حَتَّى يَبُلَّ لِحِيَتَهُ, until his beard became wet from the tears. The tears wet his big beard because he feared the grave so much. فَكِيلَ لَهُ تذكر الجنة والنار ولا تبكي. You always talk about al-jannah, you talk about jahannam, and you will not weep. وتبكي من هذا, and you are weeping just because you came near a grave. Uthman said, رضي الله عنه, that إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما رأيت منظرا قط إلا والقبر أفضأ منه. Ma ra'aytu manzaran. Uthman gave evidence with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have not seen something, I have not placed my eyes on something, except that the grave afza'u minhu was more dreadful than it. So if the Prophet was saying that the most dreadful thing from the things that he has seen is the grave, then it's a thing of worry. Fortunately or unfortunately, ikhwa, we are all going to be alone in our graves. So if a person is a person who is very diligent with himself and is diligent about his hereafter, he will always think about the grave. He will pay attention to rectifying himself so that his deeds will not make him suffer any punishments in the grave. May Allah protect each and every one of us from the punishments of the grave. Uthman ibn Affan, always he had a bath. Always he had a bath. But from the biggest of the attributes of Uthman ibn Affan was his haya. In Hadith 600 that we read, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Uthmana rajulun hayyun." Uthman is a man, kabirul haya, or kabir al haya, as you like to read it. He has a lot of haya. Uthman has a lot of haya. It's a person of modesty, meaning that you will not find Uthman in anything that is indecent, radiallahu anhu. Physically, you will not see him in any indecency. In terms of ibadah, you will not see him in any indecency, radiallahu anhu. This is the meaning of having haya. The man will always be far away from anything that is not decent. He will be far away from anything that is obscene. He will be far away from anything that is vulgar. So for all of us, we have Uthman as a model for us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed him respect. The malaika show him respect. Now, what he did that the Prophet spoke about make us understand that from the attributes of the malaika themselves is al-haya. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ala astahi min rajulin tastahi minhu al-malaika. So the malaika have haya. This is one of the things we've been the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our head and our leader regarding al-haya'u. And then from amongst those who showed a lot of haya'u was who? Uthman radiallahu anhu. I hope that this one will motivate us to go and read more about will find discussions about Fadailu Sahaba, and you find under that discussions about Fadlu or Fadailu or Manaqibu Uthmana ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. I think it will suffice for us here as a lesson today that Al-Haya'u Shu'batun min al-Iman. Al-Haya'u min al-Iman. الحياء خير كله الحياء الحياء الحياء. Oh brothers, we all, if you don't have it as part of you naturally, we all have a duty to go back to the drawing boards. We must be people of haya. What does haya mean? الحياء خلق يمنع الشخص من فعل القبيح لسبب الإيمان. الحياء is a character. يمنع الشخص, it will prevent the person who has it من فعل القبيح. It will not make you do something that is not proper. لسبب الإيمان, because of إيمان. It means حياء will not make you make تبرج. حياء will not make you leave salat. Haya'u will not make you not to fast when you should be fasting. Haya'u will be in everything that you are doing. If you are walking, Haya'u will not make you walk like that. That's not proper. You walk properly, you speak properly, you conduct yourself properly, you dress properly, you observe salah properly, you give sadaqah properly, you fast in Ramadan properly, you sleep properly, you wake up properly, use the toilets properly, you do everything properly when you have haya. But when haya is small, you will see people boasting, "Neo, there's nobody I cannot abuse," because you lack haya or you have little haya. There are people who boast like that. I don't send anybody because your haya is small, or because you lack it completely, and that is not proper. People of respect, people of esteem, they have haya'u, and al-haya'u is part of iman. Let everybody go back to the drawing board to improve our Hayahu as much as is possible, so that we, the more you show Hayahu, the more you are far away from anything that is indecent. The more you are of Hayah, the more you are far away from any stain, any indecency, whether in your speech or in your action. That means you be a very, very careful person in what you say and in what you do. May Allah make all of us from the people of Hayah. May Allah forgive us all and make us people who, when He takes us and we meet Him, He will be pleased with us. I think this will suffice as a lesson for today. We can look at the questions that we may have about the Rahman.
The first question here is, Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum.
I live in an Islamic community, and certain brothers hold on to Haya and refuse to give taslim at all to women, neither elderly nor young women. They also do not reply to taslim. The women, especially elderly, I have seen them as religious men with arrogance, as they believe these men go to work and other places and they greet even non-Muslim women. The community fears that these men are causing disunity. The greetings are attributed to good conduct and nobody expects them to get involved in unnecessary talks.
I think it got cut. The last thing I heard is that no one expects them to get involved in unnecessary talks.
No, that's the end of the question.
All right. May Allah protect all of us. Like the questioner said, if the brothers keep away to themselves because of Al-Haya'u, they don't want to get indecent in any speech or in an action. They don't even want to make a mistake in their dealings with the Ummahat. They don't want a mistake to occur. So they just mind their business and go away. If you can affirm that it is Haya'u and not Takaburan, not that they are being arrogant, looking down upon the people. That is the meaning of arrogance. Looking down upon the people or rejecting the truth. If it is not for this reason, then they are not to be blamed. The brothers should not be blamed. The brothers should not be blamed. If they mind their business, they go their way. There's no blame there. The women too should be like this. The women, because of Hayahu, they too should can keep away. That I don't want to make it a slim to this person, not because we are quarreling, not because there's infighting. I just want to keep to myself. I mean, there's no blame in it. If it is about Hayahu, Hayahu is that you are avoiding something because that thing is not appropriate, or that it can lead to something that is not appropriate. Hayahu will make you keep away. It's lawful, but it can lead to something inappropriate. You keep away from it. In fact, it can come from the aspects of al-war'. Al-war' is to leave something that is lawful, so that not to get into something that is not lawful. You can keep away. You may not say taslim. And there is no problem about that. Now, if there is a need, you need one of them to do something for you. You need one of them to help you do something. Salam alaikum, ma. Alaikum salam. Please, I need this help from you, ma. Oh, salam alaikum, afa. I need this help from you, please. Oh, I need you to do something. Yes. At the time of haja, now. At the time of necessity, now. But to make it something like, then it becomes gradually the man and the woman, they turn to this partner, start talking. They may be saying things that are lawful at the beginning, but we know even English people say that familiarity breeds indecency. So if this is what these brothers or these sisters don't want, then there's no blame in that. Many times, if you live a little bit in the Arab world, you will notice something. Women don't just sit as slim to you. They may not be arrogant, but they just mind their business. It's not about arrogance. They just mind their business. They may know you, they'll not greet you. They go their ways. You also mind your business, you go your way. There's no blame there. If it is feared that between the two sides, more so that you're in the same community, it's better to make the basic rule is that women don't make it a thing of general acceptance. They must always say salam alaikum to apa or salam alaikum to brother. It's not a common regular thing in our religion. Women should keep to themselves. Go away. If they now say taslim to ima, salam alaikum, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, you answer to the taslim, because at that time it becomes compulsory to you. If a person says taslim to you, you must respond. So then you go away. So I don't think there's any other thing there. As the questioner has said, there is no arrogance there. The man just likes to mind his business. Now I will cite an incident now and stop there regarding this question. When I was far younger than this, two women came to me and told me that there's a certain brother, if you say taslim to him, he will not answer. And that brother was a muadzin of that masjid. If you say taslim to him, he will not answer. He will just walk away. So they said, go and help us find out, why does he behave like that? So I was looking, watching the brother, trying to look for a good time to ask him that question, so that you don't ask him at the wrong time. So one day we were talking, then I said, excuse me, why is it that when the women say taslim to you, you don't respond? He said, Abu Nasir, I don't have the guts to respond. I'm a very, very weak person emotionally. The brother said to me, I hear, but I don't have the emotional guts to respond to a woman's taslim. This is his own weakness. He wants to mind his business. He doesn't want to fall into trouble. Muazzin of the masjid. And this brother has one thing. If he calls Adhan, everybody likes the Adhan. Everybody likes the Adhan. This is almost 20 years, 25 or 30 years ago. This matter. Everybody likes his Adhan. But he said, I don't have a guts that a woman will say taslim to me and I'll answer. I can't do it. I'll just go marry. So it may be for one problem the brother has or the woman has. The basic rule is if there's a need, you say taslim, and then you address the matter. If there's no need, there is nothing that says that you must always register taslim with men and women. These men, women taslim. There is nothing that says it has to be a regular thing that every day we see we must say salam alaikum. Every day we say salam alaikum. I mean, there's nothing that says so, more so if there's no need. But if there's need, no arrogance involved, no ill feelings involved, then there shouldn't be any problem about this. The people of Iman are people of brotherhood amongst themselves. So there shouldn't be any problem if there's no arrogance in it. If there are no other underlying issues making the brother avoiding other issues, there's no. Between men and women, there is nothing that says it has to be each time you pass by somebody, you have to say salam alaikum. But if you do it, not fearing any problem, not fearing any, there's no blame, inshallah. And once someone says taslim to you, it becomes incumbent on you to respond to that taslim. These are general rules regarding taslim between the men and the women. And Allah knows best. I hope that would have helped to. Because you say it's a Muslim community, I think the leaders of the people of Islam in that community will also address this problem if it's a communal problem beyond what I have said. Allahu A'lam.
Salaamu
Alaikum, Shaykh. Ameen wa Yaqum, Abba Amir. Ameen.
Concerning what you explained about Uthman bin Affan, the question reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakum Allahu khairan shaykhana. Can one bear two kunyas of his children?
If the first kunya is from the child and the child dies, like Abdullah, because you remember all the grandchildren of the Prophet died, they did not live on. So Abdullah did not live on, the daughter of Ruqayyah, the son of Ruqayyah, he did not live on. So when it was Abu Abdullah, the boy died, Ruqayyah died, the boy died. Then he had other children, one of them was Amr. So he took the kunya from another one, from his son who was alive. So you can do that, apparently, as we see from this life of Uthman. Sometimes you can just have more than one kunya, even before you begin to have children. One, you have Abu Muhammad. Two, you have Abu Abdullah. And then when you begin to give birth to children, you name one Abdullah, you name one Muhammad. So you can do that. There are so many ways that this thing can happen. So if you want to take kunya off deliberately from your children, do it the way Uthman did it. If you have a kunya of Abdullah, and Abdullah is no more, you can take kunya of Amr. You become Abu Amr. But I think a more direct approach to your question is, you have two sons. One of them is Zayd, the other one is Amr. Can you be Abu Zayd and Abu Amr? If you're being Abu Amr, if Zayd is the first one, does not mean people will start calling you Abu Zayd. Then you can be added to. You are Abu Zayd. If it is after your children, after you have children, you now want to take kunya, you use Zayd. Zayd is the first one. You can be called Abu Zayd, Abu Zayd, Abu Zayd. Now, if you want to take your second son, Amr, for a kunya, you can take Abu Amr, as long as it does not mean that you stop to be called Abu Zayd. Because if you stop to be called Abu Zayd, and you are called Abu Amr, and Zayd is alive, you are becoming unfair to Zayd. I hope that it is clear. Don't forget, you took these names after you had those children. So the first one is the one you take. If you take his name with the kunya, and he's alive, and you take another kunya, and the second kunya becomes the reason why you stopped being called the first kunya, that is not proper. I hope this is clear. But if you are called both kunyas, some people call you Abu Zayd, some people call you Abu Amr, that's lawful. One of them, I think, is you yourself, Abu Amir. Some brothers call you Abu Amir. Some brothers call you Abu Ayman. I remember that I always call you Abu Ayman. That was your kunya, even though you have Amir. So people call you Abu Amir, people call you Abu Ayman. So it depends. As long as any one of the two does not go to oblivion because of the other one, then it's lawful. Both kunyas. The same thing applies to Usman. Both is called both. Some people call him Abu Abdullah, some call him Abu Amr. But Abu Amr is more popular than Abu Abdullah. So the answer directly is that you can have more than one kunya. I hope that that is clear.
The next question is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please, sir, is there any dua one can make to increase one's haya?
Yes, be making Allah. Allah, make me a person of haya. Be saying that dua. Be saying that dua. But I think your question is about dua un ma'thur. Did I say dua that has come from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? I don't know anyone as I speak now. But I think it suffices if you want to make dua about haya. Allah, make me a person of haya. Allah, make me a person of haya. I think that will suffice you, inshallah. If you say, Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, this one is very wide. Make me be upon remembering you, O Allah. Make me be upon regularly showing gratitude to you. I sustain me, help me. Ala dhikrika, to always remind you, remember you. Wa dhikrika, wa shukrika, make me to always show gratitude to you. Wa husni ibadatik, make me to be from the best of your servants. Make me be able to serve you well. Asking for higher who can come under this ihsan fil ibadah, making deen a person who is yuhsin ibadati, all his ibadat, he does it well. It can come under this. You can also make the du'as of where the Prophet was asking for good character. I think one of the du'a of istiftah in salat is about good character. For those who consider that hadith as hasan, that, oh Allah, hasan, make bless my character as you bless my look. To make my look nice, make my character to be nice. So even if this is not sahih hadithi, you can use it as an expression in your dua at any other time. Well, as you bless my character too. So you can make the general dua, make specific dua. Oh Allah, make me a person of haya. Ikhwa, if you are a person of haya, you'll be far away from any dirty thing. Nobody will see you in anything that is dirty. Anything that is shady, you will not be there. Why? Haya will make you hold back. This thing is not proper. Whether you are in the public or you are in the secret, haya will be preventing you from anything that is not proper. So you can see it's a major guiding principle in the life of a Muslim. It will bring you towards goodness, in the high levels of goodness. Keep you away, far away from anything that is vulgar or indecent. May Allah protect all of us. Abu Amir, the time is so fast spent.
Naam, Sheikh Hamid. Ahsan Allah ilayk.
I mean, may Allah protect us all. Bi-idhni Allah, will be coming to class, in the next class, about the Prophet's conduct regarding Azkar. The next set of ahadith are about Azkar and Dua. The next set of reports are about what? Al-Azkar and about Dua. They are a major part of the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Adhkar and dua. You could see how much we mentioned Uthman ibn Affan and his devotion to al-haya'u and all of this. Yet he was a person of adhkar. You know how it is that a person would recite the whole Quran in one single rak'ah in qiyamul layl? Uthman used to do it. He was full of adhkar. He was part of the things mentioned about Uthman, adhkar. Adhkar will not make you become forgetful of yourself. It will make you become a person who is regularly mindful and conscious of his statements and his actions. Adhkar. So, bi-idhnillah, we'll be coming back to these lessons as we follow up with our reading in Al-Adabul Mufrad. May Allah make it a thing of benefit for all of us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا. جزاكم الله خيرا.
آمين.